The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
It's real to me. It's not a game. It's Jesus. His redemptive power changed my walk, my direction, my talk, my life.
James and Betty reflect on one of James' most powerful sermons about the transformation in his life.
Repentance is turning to Jesus. Repentance is trusting Jesus.
Sharing part two of a message that we shared yesterday. By the way, welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson, my wife Betty. And we went back 40 years and brought up a message that I preached in 1980 on repentance. And it shook the nation. I told you yesterday, Billy Graham called right after it aired that night. James, that's the greatest sermon I've ever heard, I think ever preached. And the greatest message on repentance for sure. Well, that's a pretty nice thing for Billy Graham to say. He was so encouraging to me. He wanted me to preach to the whole world every day. And you know that we're preaching to more people every day now all over the world because of our mission outreaches. Those of you who like what we're doing, you don't have to wonder. If you and Betty are gone, will it continue? You better believe it, because everything is set in place. It doesn't depend upon a person or personality. It depends upon God's Spirit flowing through yielded people. And the body of Christ, the family of the perfect Father, are continually ministering kingdom message and kingdom messages to the world. That's what we'll be doing. Right now, we're trying to raise funds to buy shoes for children, 150,000 kids' shoes that'll give them health. And we're giving surgeries for cleft palates and to repair their beautiful little faces that they're so embarrassed and their family embarrassed about, and we give them a smile, shoes and smiles. So I hope that you'll be helping us do that. But we're going to continue the message on repentance. You know, I preached like that all over the world, for all over America, for 25 or 30 years steady, many times a day. And some of you say, well, why aren't you doing it now? Well, I am. And I'm doing it in different ways, in different places, and many times we do it through others. But we're winning 10 times more a day to Christ than we did back in those days when I was in the Colosseums. I mean, we've led millions to Jesus, and we've changed millions of lives and saved millions of lives, we meaning all of us together as the family of God. Well, Betty, we're going to continue that message. Didn't you find it a little bit interesting to look back 40 years?
Oh, I was captivated watching it, you know, because I do remember it well. I'm pretty sure I was there. And that message is so needed for today. I hope you listen closely and let God apply it to your heart and you find that repentance and freedom in your life.
We're going to join the message now. And remember, you can tell your friends, they can listen to yesterday's and then today's on Life Today online. God bless this message to every person.
Most people I face in churches have repented of the consequences of their sin, but they've never repented of their sin. I hope you get the point. To repent of the consequences of your sins, to try to get away from all the bad things that are caused by your sin. But to repent of your sin is to turn your eyes upon Jesus and give Jesus your life, and then He cleans those things out of your life. You see, Jesus said, any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And He said to His disciples, remember Lot's wife, fellas, remember Lot's wife? Do you remember? You say, who's she? Lot's wife, I just told you. Lot's wife. What'd she do, Lord? Do you remember I burned Sodom and Gomorrah from the face of the earth? Do you remember that? Oh, yes, Lord, we've read about that, how you burned Sodom and Gomorrah up. You remember Lot's wife? She lived with a righteous husband, the most righteous man on earth at that time. She heard the word all the time. She was surrounded with righteousness. Do you remember when they left the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember how wicked the city was? Do you remember that when I sent my angels to be with Lot? Do you remember that the homosexuals stood out in the street and cried out for that strange man, that guest, send him out in the street so that we can lay with him and make love with him, they cried out. Send him out. And you know what they said inside? Let us send out the girls. And they said, no. The men said, no. You send out that man. And God said, I send my fire and I destroy the city with a fervent heat. And he melted it, and he did. But Lot and his wife and his family were leaving that wicked city. God knows it was wicked. Man, it was wicked. And you know what she did? She turned around and looked back. Imagine that. She looked back. She had a longing in her heart for Sodom. You can't imagine how many people here in this place, how many people in America, they've got a longing. They got a longing for impurity. They got a longing for sex sin. They got a longing to satisfy the greed of the heart. They got a longing for it. They're always looking back. And you know why Jesus said, remember her? She was turned immediately when she turned to look back into a pile of salt. Just whoosh, salt. She's gone. You say, why Jesus want us to remember that? Because Lot's wife is a picture of many of you who are surrounded by religion. But your heart longs for the world. You know one way I know I'm a repentant, redeemed sinner, and I'm a sinner. But I've repented, I'm redeemed. You know how I know I am? I wish I could not sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. And someday, my God will send his son and take me where I cannot sin. Jesus is in my heart. Do you understand that? Man, I got rhythm. I've got excitement. I got emotion. But I won't please Jesus. Why? You say, because you're really neat. No, no. Because he's really great. And he changed my life. He really did. Folks, it's not what you do. It's not the things you have. It's who has you, who you know personally. You see, repentance is turning to Jesus. Repentance is trusting Jesus. Have you ever done that? I went to see a girl one time because the people asked me to. They said, there's a girl, 15 years old, that wants to meet you. She watches you on television every week, and she has for 3 years. Her name is Pam. And I said, well, I'm very busy. And that week, we had the privilege of breaking all of Elvis Presley's attendance records in the Coliseum in Mobile. Those records will never be broken because we exceeded the fire marshal limit by nearly 3,000 and turned away thousands. And finally, we moved out and went to a stadium with 25,000. And on Saturday that we were leaving the Coliseum, I went to see Pam. You know why I went to see her? Because she had a brain tumor. They cut out of her head, and she was dying. When they cut the tumor out, it blinded her in one eye and paralyzed her on one side, and they wanted me to go see her. And I drove way out in the country. And when I walked up to the house, it was a modest place. I went up and knocked on the door, and I walked in, and Pam was in front of me in a chair. No hair on her head. totally bald. They shaved it all off. She had a terrible scar. Chemotherapy had caused her hair to fall out and never grew back. And when I walked in, the left eye was blind, and I was to her left. She couldn't see me. Her mother heard me and came walking in, and she said, "Pam, Pam, Pam, look who's here, Pam." And she came and pushed her head over, and Pam saw me. And when she did, she looked back over to Mama, and she said, "Mama, look who came to see me, Mama. Look who came to see me, Mama, look." And I went over, and Pam could move her right hand, and she grabbed my fingers, and boy, did she ever squeeze tight. And her mother stood there, and Pam's house shoes fell off her feet three times while I talked to her, because her feet were so thin. She only weighed about 80 pounds. Her mother showed me a whole row of trophies on the mantle. She said, "You know, Pam won those trophies swimming 2 years ago? She was a champion athlete. She had long brown hair all down her shoulders. I wish you could have seen her. She's such a beautiful girl." Pam tightened her grip on my fingers. She couldn't date. She couldn't play. She couldn't swim. But I want to tell you this. In the next few minutes, I talked to a little girl that was more full of life than anybody I've ever met. She looked at me and said, "Isn't God great? Isn't God good? Isn't God wonderful, Mr. Robinson?" And there she is, dying. And I said, "Yes, God's great, God's good." She said, "I love Jesus so much." And I finally said, "Pam, let me pray with you." And I did my ministerial duty and went beyond. I really had a love for her, you know. And I don't like the word ministerial duty. It makes me kind of sick. But I was trying to get away so I could cry. And I prayed. And just when I got through, I said, "Amen." And Pam clamped down tighter. And she interrupted my amen with her prayer. "Dear God, you're so great. Brain tumor, no hair, paralyzed. You're so great, God. I love you so much, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you." I turned and walked out of there, and I said to my associate, I said, "Have you ever seen anybody so full of life?" He said, "Never." There's a girl that was full of Jesus. You know what she did the next night? They brought an ambulance out there on that football stadium field and unloaded that precious girl in a stretcher wrapped in a blanket with a little toboggan overhead. And I sent the microphone down to her. Johnny Cash was sitting on the platform, and he couldn't sing. He started crying so hard because, you see, his 12-year-old brother died when a saw cut him in two. And Johnny watched him die. And Johnny watched him saying, "The angels are coming, Mama. The angels are coming." And that night we nearly lost Johnny Cash for good because we put the microphone up in Pam's face and said, "Say a word to the crowd, Pam." 25,000 people. You know what Pam said? "God is so good. He's so great. Pretty soon he's going to send the angels to take me to heaven." Pam died a week later. God sent the angels to take her to heaven. Friend, that little girl was an illustration of what happens in a person's heart when they've repented. You see, you may not be full of activities, and you may not have possessions, and you may not have pleasures that people see, but you're going to have the life and the joy of God filling your soul. Now listen to me, please. I'm healthy. I'm healthy. I can run. I can leap. I'm strong. And I want to tell you, the same joy that filled that girl fills my heart. Because Jesus fills my life. I've repented. I turned my eyes upon Jesus, and he changed my life. Folks, it's real to me. It's not a game. It's real to me. It's not religion. It's not remorse or regret or reform. It's Jesus. His redemptive power changed my walk, my direction, my talk, my life. And he'll do the same for you. Please, please don't hold to religion and miss the joy of knowing Jesus. Too many of you are like Lot's wife. You're still looking back. You have a longing for the world. You know what I have? I have a longing for Jesus. I really do. And I've got things, but they're just dirt. They really are. They're dirt. Jesus, He's the diamond. He's the joy. Have you ever repented? Have you ever really been redeemed? Don't miss it, folks. It's too great.
Have you turned to Jesus? Betty, I want everybody to know Him, to love Him. Amen. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to share Him. Would you write where you are? Say, Jesus, I do believe You died for me. You and Your Father, God Himself loves us. I want to receive that love. Jesus, change my life. I come to You. Would you say, I want to turn from my ways and walk in Your ways? If you want someone to pray with you, call that number. We'll send a simple Bible study about becoming a new person and knowing God as your Father. We want to help you. I pray you do repent. Pray you'll encourage your friends to watch this program online. Tell them to share it with their friends. Because what Billy Graham called a great message is great because of the effect of the truth when it's applied to our lives. Then life comes and becomes a reality to us. His life, His love flowing through us. I'm so glad you watched. Would you help us do something for precious children that Betty, you and I have gone for 20, 30 years to nations everywhere in the third world? And when we found out how much children needed shoes, and we didn't really know it, they just run around barefooted. But we began to notice a lot of them were under medical care because they got hookworms from the infections in their feet that got into their systems, made them very sick, and even often took their lives. Many of them were having a rough time. One of our donors said, I found some shoes that are very expensive, but we can get them for $3.60. So would you like to give shoes? And how about, another friend said, how about we give cleft palate surgery? Why don't we ask our viewers to give shoes and smiles for Christmas? That's what we're doing. And I pray with all my heart that you will do it. Would you make a gift? Think about it. $36, you can give 10 children a pair of shoes. Think about that. $72, you can give 20 children. For $1,000, 275 pairs of shoes or two surgeries for smiles. The doctors give their gift and their ability, and it's $500 to cover the cost for a miracle surgery. Would you listen closely to a doctor that cares for these children? And would you put God's arms around them? Please give some shoes and some smiles for Christmas. You'll be so glad, and it will change their life. Watch closely.
My name is Dr. Joseph Leuri. I'm a surgeon who does many operations that include the repair of cleft lip and palate deformities.
Okay, let's pray. We pray that you're going to guide us through this procedure to enable us to get a good correction. But also,
cleft lip and palate deformities are very common in Kenya. And for the cleft lip, the child has a split lip, usually the upper lip. For the cleft palate, usually there is a hole in the palate. Once they are born, there is quite a lot of effect. Usually when someone sees a person with a deformity of the face, it's very conspicuous. And that kind of brings a lot of shame to the family, and a lot of children tend to be hidden as a result of that. The cleft palate has a more challenging functional problem, because children with cleft palate have problems, difficulties feeding when they are young. And because of that, children usually have malnutrition when they are young. Repair of both of these deformities are able to forestall all these type of problems, so that a child who has a cleft lip that is repaired is able to live a normal life. And when someone has a cleft palate, the function of that child and the social interaction and also opportunities are better when all these are repaired at a young age. We'd like to thank James and Betty and the Friends of Life Outreach International. We believe that their support would help us to reach more children and be able to treat children with cleft lip and cleft palate. But we know that there are very many children that are not treated, and they are out there in our country. This type of intervention is going to help treating these children, and these children will be able to grow normal lives and be able to access opportunities of life just like any other child in our country. Thank you. May God bless you.
Betty, I can't even describe how much I love those little children. I want to see every one of them that can smile. And, you know, a lot of times I think if you can't handle their food and drinks and so forth, it's just I just want to make them well. And we can. When I say we, it's us together. We show you a need that only God's love can meet, and He flows His love through channels of yielded human lives. We become a channel of blessing, just like Jesus did. And He lives in us. Betty, I want to put a smile on all their faces, and I want to put shoes on their tiny little feet, because they're precious in His sight. You know, Betty, I'm getting older. I don't know that I'm any more sensitive, but I'm as sensitive as I've ever been to the needs of others. And we have shown our viewers a legitimate need that can be realistically and effectively met, and it's in place to keep doing it. Nothing will stop it but us not releasing the river of life and love with the resources and the support essential to carry it out. We can reveal to you the challenge and the need and the opportunity, and you're the one that makes it happen. I pray our viewers see that.
I do too, James. And you know, I was sitting here thinking, I remember the first time we were confronted with a child that had the cleft palate, and they had no mirrors around them, but he liked to look at himself in one of our cameras, and he backed off. It frightened him, and he wanted to run and hide. And I think that must be the way with many of these little children. They don't want you to look at them. They're ashamed as they grow older. And, you know, I think about a newborn. When you first see a newborn and they come into this world, you stand waiting and wanting, and you're watching every moment to see that first smile. It's worth it all. It brings joy to the heart. We want these children to smile and not be ashamed of what they might look like. Please help us do that again and again. There's so many needs out there. And then to put shoes on their little feet to protect their feet. How precious is that? How wonderful is that, that we can help them to walk safely and run around and play safely?
Well, it's as simple as you go into the phone, or you could call for prayer and say, I want to give two children smiles and make a $1,000 gift. Would you make a gift? Think about it. $36, you can give 10 children a pair of shoes. Think about that. $72, you can give 20 children. Or a $1,000 gift and 275 children get a pair of shoes. Would you reach out and touch someone with the love of God? Please, right now, use your bank card like a check. Go online or dial that number. but make the great gift of love. Thank you for giving shoes and smiles for Christmas. Make that call and that gift now. Thank you so much.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer not only from lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a protective pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of painful infections, injury, and life-threatening diseases. But this Christmas, you can bring hope and healing. Your gift today will help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays, and for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children. $72 will help provide for 20. $180 will help provide shoes for 50. And a gift of $500 will help provide a cleft surgery, restoring a child's smile forever. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request the beautifully crafted yellow crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake set featuring four of life's colorful crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective smile surgeries, and you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, counting grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we've got over 30 of them. And I can tell you, I want all of them to be able to smile. You don't know, Betty, the effort I would go to if we had one of our grandchildren with a facial deformity. I can promise you, we'd do everything possible, including pray for the miracle, to give them a smile. You can do that for some, and you can give shoes to a whole lot of children. Give shoes and smiles for Christmas. And Betty and I together say thanks.
Thank you.
Share the repentance message with your friends. Tell them they can find it on Life Today and watch it online.
Rabbi Jason Sobel helps us better understand the truth and power behind God's miracles. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.